Welcome to the Energy Question with David Blackman. I'm your host, David Blackman, and with me today is my special guest, Ry Barcott, Marine captain, who is also the founder of a group and CEO of a group called With Honor Action. And before we get into it, I just want to read a little bit of Ry's bio, which is very impressive. Ry served 5 years on active duty with the Marine Corps, where he attained the rank of captain and deployed to Bosnia, the Horn of Africa, and Iraq. In 2006, he provided written testimony to the Iraq Study Group and authored an article about the Iraq Military Intelligence Academy in Proceedings, the professional journal of the U.S. Navy. ABC World News with Charles Gibson covered the work in Kibera and his military service in Iraq and named him Person of the Week and a 2006 Person of the Year. Captain Barcott, thank you for your service. And thank you for joining us today.
Great to be on, David. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, before we started recording here, I was talking about what a big job you have with your group With Honor Action, which is, you know, designed to help spur more bipartisanship in the U.S. Congress, which, you know, my 20 years as a lobbyist, I saw the polarization really mushroom as it has now, and it's a big task. And I certainly thank you for trying to do it, first of all, and just tell us about how it works and how you're trying to go about it.
Sure, it's definitely against the grain these days, but I co-founded the organization with another Marine that I had served with, and David Gergen, who is a Navy veteran, back about 6 years ago, and. Yeah. What we saw was that we realized that there was a pretty striking trend downward of veteran representation in Congress. Vets in Congress used to be, not too long ago, over 70% of Congress had served in uniform from both parties. And now we're below 20%. And of course, what's happened during that time, and as you mentioned from your own experience on Capitol Hill, is the level of polarization has just gone up exponentially. And we think those two are connected. In fact, we actually know that they are because we studied how bipartisan veterans are in Congress over the last 50 years versus non-veterans. And what that analysis showed was that the vets were more bipartisan in the way that they voted and also co-sponsored legislation. And so what With Honor does is we have a pledge, which is to serve with integrity, civility, and courage. And it sounds pretty simple, but these days in Congress, it's certainly not. And it includes the courage to actually work in a bipartisan fashion, build trust with folks that you may disagree with. Of course, when you serve in the military, you know all about that because it doesn't matter what the man or woman believes to your left or right in terms of their, you know, political ideology or their religion or things of that nature. You're in it for the same mission. And that's that type of orientation that now 30 members of Congress that we've helped elect, train, recruit, and support are participating and are in a caucus in the U.S. House called the Four Country Caucus, F-O-R, yeah. Country Caucus. And that group has passed over 150 laws that really matter for the country in areas of national security, national service, which is a longstanding interest of the caucus and With Honor to get more Americans to voluntarily serve in the military or in other forms, in other capacities, and then in veterans affairs and for military families. So this is an example of one group that's actually working. And it shows that it is possible to break our tribal divides and actually get things done, have adults in the room and make things happen. So it's a pleasure to be a part of it. I came to this work after the Marine Corps, actually worked in energy. I had the good fortune of working at Duke Energy in my hometown of Charlotte, and had a great opportunity in the private sector, and then decided a few years ago to pursue this mission for our country.
What do you attribute? I knew that the percentage with military service had dropped. I didn't realize it was quite that severe. Is it just kind of a function of the fact we're getting further and further away from years when we had a draft? And so you had so many more Americans who actually have national service in their background and military service. Is it just a function of that, or are there other factors at play?
There are really two factors. That's one of them. Fewer Americans in general serve. There are less than 2% of Americans now serve in either military or civilian capacity, and less than 1% serve in the military. But there's a larger factor too, and that is the costs of elections has just skyrocketed. It's gone up more than anything else, any other index, healthcare costs, et cetera. Nothing compares to the costs in our elections. And so when you're in the military, you're typically deploying around the world. You're certainly not making a lot of money. That's not what it's about. And so many vets face a very steep hurdle, which is just the sheer costs and frankly, kind of network in order to run and successfully serve again. So those are really two of the drivers. But the good news is that disproportionately, military veterans want to serve. They want to serve in both elected and appointed capacities. They seek that mission to continue to give back to this great country that, for all our flaws, is still the greatest country in the world and creates just incredible opportunities for all of us.
So is With Honor Action, how's it structured? I assume it's a nonprofit. Is it 501c3 or C4?
Great question. So our organization is a nonprofit, withhonor.org. We also have separate political action committees that get involved in races. And those will get involved in primary races as well as general races. Our co-chair of the four the or the co-chair of the Four Country Caucus, for example, is Tony Gonzalez, and we were just supporting him there in Texas in a primary fight that he's coming up against, in part because he's been bipartisan. That's part of the reason why he's up in a fight right now.
And you have several members from Texas. I know August Pfluger is one of them. Who else from Texas is part of the
That's
caucuses?
exactly right. And Jake Elzey, just a great Texas cohort there. And it was great to see your superb show with August, which I commend to other
Oh,
viewers.
he's fantastic. Yeah, he's doing such great work out there in the Permian Basin. It's such a vital piece of our state, that really funds our state government and our schools. And it's always important to have strong members of Congress from that part of the state.
One of the really privileges of my job now leading With Honor is that I get to meet and with veteran candidates as well as members from all across the country. And so I remember really fondly meeting with August when he decided to run. He'd never run for office before. Went out there to Midland. We had a great lunch. Got to see the territory and even visited the old homestead of the Bush family, which is really a superb national a treasure. It's like stepping back into 1950. Very humble abode.
It was the 50s when they were out there, the 50s and 60s. People forget about that part of the Bush family's history sometimes. Midland's an amazing place. I in my own career worked for companies that had offices out there off and on, and it goes through so many boom and bust cycles. And fortunately, it has diversified enough out there to where even when the oil industry is down, it doesn't lose half its population and two-thirds of its economic, production. So it's become a lot more stable area for people to raise families right now, which is really nice. How do you see and again, I really admire folks like you who work to try to create a sense of bipartisanship, but the political debate in this country has become so emotionally based. What are the kinds of things y'all do to try to encourage these members who are so polarized from one another and who just don't have much in common anymore? And I think this is really kind of exemplary of our whole society. What are the kinds of activities y'all engage in to try to and encourage more members of Congress to be a part of this kind of thing?
It's a great question. There's a simple kind of fact in human nature, which is that it's harder to hate somebody that in a visceral way. It's harder to hate somebody that you know. And so what happens in Congress is that from the very beginning of freshman orientation, the two tribes are split apart. And so, and oftentimes the incentive to be a show horse versus a workhorse will start, if not before day one, on day one. For example, there was a member that had a cable news network reach out to them on the second day to jump into some culture war issue. And that member, who's a member of the caucus, actually one of the members from Texas, just said, "No, thanks. I'm going to take a pass. I'll come back and talk about something that really, that I know something about, first of all." How about that for something? I'll actually talk about something that I know about, but that I'm also passionate about and have a point of view on. So I don't just need to jump into the culture war for the culture war's sake. One of the things that has happened in Congress is, and you probably recall this from the 90s, you still had more members that were there with their families and were able to build some relationships with their families. The pressures have gotten so great that there's just less interaction. So one of the things that With Honor does is we sponsor congressional delegations where members from both parties, as well as sometimes their spouses, can travel together and build real relationships, and then go someplace like a military base where they can learn something that's focused on their work, but also have that time together to build relationships and take that time and root it in trust. One of the reasons why we focus on veterans is not only because we are veterans, but because the military is the only institution, public institution in the United States right now, that has trust above 50% from both political parties. It's the only one. And so veterans as an identity is a unifier. When you're building relationships with somebody that you feel like doesn't have a lot in common with you, you look for the common ground. And anybody that served in the military immediately has something that they can talk about with each other that matters, that is, in many cases, the transformative point in their lives. It certainly was for me when I served in the Marines from 01 to 06. I went for my father when he served in Vietnam in 1965. I mean, that's a common ground. So these are we look for both activities where members can interact with each other in a social capacity, and then be able to be more productive together when they're having official business meetings on legislation that matters for the country. And in this case, the caucus typically, the four-country caucus typically meets once every 2 weeks, again under the leadership of Congressman Tony Gonzalez, who was a retired master chief and cryptologist in the Navy. He's from Texas, and then Jason Crow, who's an Army Ranger out of Colorado.
Don't you think, and I'll explain why I'm asking this question. Don't you think the 24-hour news cycle has had a big impact in this? When I first started lobbying out in Washington, we could walk into a restaurant, and I remember one night we walked into the Capitol Grill, and the first thing we saw is Arlen Specter, a Republican from Pennsylvania, having dinner with Patrick Leahy and their wives. Patrick Leahy's a Democrat from Vermont, I believe. And they're there with their families. If you do that today, and nobody thought anything of it, you would see that and you wouldn't think anything of it. If two senators from opposing parties had dinner at the Capitol Grill today, it would be the topic of a panel discussion the next morning on MSNBC. And so hasn't the development of this 24-hour news cycle and these different channels all competing for some sort of salacious story to put on the air, had a real impact in the ability of members of Congress from different parties to work together just because of concerns like that, that you're going to be on the front page of the Washington Post or on a panel discussion at CNN the next morning?
It certainly has. And another piece that changed, which was a rule change that we have advocated to revert, is that the cameras are allowed to record most of the committee meetings now that occur in Congress. And that's created this stage for performative artists that are not trying to ask questions to get to real answers, but instead are just using it for a stage, typically to throw a culture war bomb and then go raise small dollars off it immediately after they do it. And it creates this kind of kabuki theater that is so exhausting to watch.
I have to tell you, I use that term constantly in my writing that I do. Anyway, go ahead.
Kabuki
theater is a perfect description of what happens. But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy. I mean, Americans look at this and they think, wow, this is just not working at all. Well, it certainly isn't working well when you write in the open view. And oftentimes, as you might expect, the real work happens behind the scenes with people that trust each other and can get to that point where every member of this 30 member caucus in the House and the six senators in the three Democrats, three Republicans in the Senate that with whom we work, I guarantee you every single one of them can go into a room one-on-one with a member from the other party that's in that group and not have to worry about this information leaking, you know, 2 hours later, or that member referencing their conversation in a cable news hit piece.
Yeah.
And instead, but that's a special thing within this group. Oftentimes in Congress now, the relationships are so frayed that, you know, everybody's kind of constantly looking over their shoulder and just assuming the worst intentions, which of course makes it all the more difficult to get really important things done. Like pass a budget, for example. This week we may have a government shutdown again on Friday. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, we'll either have that or another continuing resolution for 3 weeks, right? I mean, right. This constant brinksmanship drives me out of my mind.
Yeah, and in the meantime, there are like major world issues that matter. I just recently got back from Ukraine.
Yes, please talk.
We've been involved with Ukraine since the very beginning of the war. When the first meeting that a group of Ukrainian members of parliament took was with the four country caucus, and what's happened here, regardless of sort of where someone sits on the spectrum of what level of support we should give to Ukraine, now that we're 2 years into the war, this could be a long protracted war. Certainly there needs to be proper oversight. I think there probably is. The war's been a remarkable success to date in terms of overall expenses, is less than 3% of our overall military expenses. But regardless of where somebody is on being critical of how much we do, one thing for sure is it is a terrible dereliction of duty to just immediately cut off ammunition and weapons assistance in a time of war. I mean, if you want to actually jeopardize the front lines breaking and Putin rushing back into Kyiv, which of course did happen 2 years ago, he was right on the outskirts of Kyiv, massive country, you know, Texas-sized country, right? And it almost toppled. If you want to like really waste all the money that's been invested and all the human effort, do nothing, and completely shock and starve a place for any level of support. So, at any rate, this is an example of also an issue where it has the support, it has the votes across party lines. It just needs to actually get done. And Congress's polarization leads to this paralysis, which is now, you know, putting in jeopardy one of the forefronts of the fight from democracy against autocracy around the world.
So I read a story yesterday that indicated of course, we're recording this on March 20th, folks, just so you know, so the deal hasn't been reached. But I read a story yesterday that indicated a deal had been reached, right? But wasn't clear on whether it included any funding for Iraq or the Middle East or anything. And so where do we stand on that as far as you know?
Well, first of all, I think we will see weapons assistance. I mean, when I was in the frontline units, these brigades with individuals that had been in combat for over
the Ukrainian years. Brigades, Ukraine, you're talking, not US,
yeah, Ukrainian for sure. Yeah. These are the Ukrainian frontline units, and they were running out of just basic things like mortars and 155 artillery rounds. These are not expensive. They are very basic levels of ammunition. So I do think, I'm an optimist by nature. I think we'll get there. There's certainly the level of support to get there. Where we currently are in terms of state of play is figuring out a way to actually get it to the floor, have a vote, and then push on. And that's all complicated somewhat by, let me just, sorry here. Actually have a call
Oh, it's
related
okay.
ring that
That's
just popped in. We'll turn that off.
It happens.
At any rate, so I think we're going to get there. But it is an example of an issue where it's important to keep talking and actually getting things done because there is bipartisan support on it.
So there's just so many things like that happening in Washington, all these important issues. And with the party so polarized, you have these narrow margins in Congress, you have an election coming up. How do we get to a final, an actual process in Congress where they actually do the 12 appropriations bills they're supposed to do every year and actually have a real federal budget? For it would be the first time in almost 20 years if they
Yeah,
ever get to that point, right?
that's
I
exactly
mean,
right.
are we any closer to that? Does your caucus feel like we're getting closer to achieving that goal or further away from it?
Well, the way to get there is to help elect the right type of people. And one of the most senior appropriators, which referred to as a cardinal in the GOP, is a fellow named Steve Womack, who's a 30-year Army veteran and is part of the Four Country Caucus. And Congressman Womack speaks frequently about this of we need to get back. This is the way the pro it's like any military mission. You look at what is the way that something is supposed to work, and then we create our checklist and we take our steps. And this has been something that's been broken down for well over a decade. So I think we need the right type of people in office to affect this change, and that's part of the reason why with Honor we're not just policy focused. A big part of the organization is political and is focused on not only helping to win elections, but helping to recruit and train the right type of people that will go into this service and not view it as a stepping stone necessarily to a career in elected office, but rather a hardship post. This was a military, you think about hardship posts when there's an important, often dangerous mission up ahead. You jump into it for intense concentrated period of time and do your part. And that's the type of mentality that a lot of the veterans that are part of this caucus have toward their service.
Well, with your nonprofit status and the PACs that you're involved in, obviously people will have an opportunity to support these efforts, and I want you to tell folks where they can find you, how they can support what you're doing, because I know there's a lot of people out here in our audience who are craving to go back to a time when we did have some bipartisanship in Congress and actually got things done that the government's supposed to get done. So tell people how
Thank
they
you,
can
David.
find you and support you.
And thank you. Please do check out the work and sign up. It's at withhonor.org. It is estimated that almost 40% of Americans now are independents. It's the largest party, so to speak, is not a party. Why? Because both of the two parties, this duopoly, has just gotten more and more extreme and more dysfunctional. Both of them have. And so the dialogue that you often hear on cable news or just tune in every day to is being driven by the extremes. And what that often causes folks, and I'm one of them as well, to do is to step back and say, well, this is such a mess. I don't know where to begin. And so I'm just going to disengage and let the Kabuki theater run its course. And I get that. That's a natural human reaction. But the fact is, the country is in a really difficult and dangerous spot right now. And we need people engaged. We need them actively supporting efforts like With Honor and a handful of others that are not partisan, but really focused on getting the right type of people and fixing some of the structural challenges that we have to keep our democracy resilient and strong, and frankly, the beacon of the world.
Man, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time here. I'm going to let you get back to your important work and wish you the best of luck. Really and truly, I hope you have tremendous success in all this.
Thanks, David. Great to be on your show.
Thank you, and thank you again for your service. I'm David Blackman, and that is all for today.